Chapter 14, City of Banff, Thursday, July 28, 1988. At 7 o'clock, I asked what my chore was at this reception. Since most of the people were sleeping, they told me I had to do something very simple, to collect the garbage from every room. It took me 10 minutes, and as soon as I finished, I went to the reception again to thank them for their services. I felt nervous and anxious about an uncertain future again. Some questions I had were, what is next? What kind of problems will I have to sort out? What is the future going to bring? I had mixed feelings. On one hand, I wanted to arrive at the next city soon. But on the other, I did not want to stay with strangers in an unknown city in the mountains. On my way down to the town of Jasper, I crossed a bridge where one of the many rivers of the area flowed into. I remembered having heard some people saying that the water was very cold, so I went close to the shore and put my hand in to check myself the temperature. Amazing, I could not feel my hand. When I took it out, I could hardly feel it. That is the way life is. We do not believe something until we see for ourselves. I kept on walking towards the city. Once there, I looked for a restaurant to have breakfast. I found one where they had breakfast for $7 Canadian, that is 14,000 Mexican. The menu said milk, bread, eggs, and potatoes. I waited for someone to take my order. It was pretty easy for me to order milk and bread, but when I said eggs, the waiter asked what kind of eggs I wanted. I was about to say scrambled eggs, but he provided a very long list of different ways to have them. I was taken aback. On one hand, I had never heard those words. I'm sure he said more than 10 different ways to have eggs, such as scrambled eggs, soft-boiled eggs, hard-boiled eggs, and boiled eggs. He must have noticed I was perplexed because he went through the list again, but slowly this time. When I heard the word scrambled, I told him right away that that was what I wanted. When I finished breakfast, I left the restaurant and walked to the park where there were some people sunbathing. I saw a sign reading the Dean Wildlife Museum. It was a place located at the basement of the Whistler Motor Hotel, a small but elegant hotel. The entrance fee was $1 Canadian, that is 2,000 Mexican. Even though it was a small place, there were over 100 species of stuffed animals placed in a very real setting. You could hear some information about them whenever you came close to the glass boxes where they were. Besides deer, they had grizzly bears, the most dangerous animals in the area. They can kill an elk just with a swipe. The information and the models they showed were very interesting. I was glad that I did not have to walk all the way back to the hostel that day, because it would have been very scary after having found out in this museum what kind of animals lived in the region. After a few hours, I left the museum and went window shopping. I was looking for a book that contained pictures of the places where I had been. I bought one entitled The Canadian Rockies for $3.95 Canadian, 8,000 Mexican. At that moment, I cashed my second traveler's check. I was excited because I had with me a sample of all the places I had visited. I left the store and kept on walking. I passed by a Catholic church, but it was closed. I wished I could have stepped in to see the interior and also to pray for a while. Later, I went back to the bus terminal where the bus departed exactly at the time it was scheduled, 1:30. Punctuality is not characteristic of the Mexican transportation, which probably has to do with the upbringing most of us have. The bus was elegant and comfortable. The windows were so big that I could enjoy the view with no problems at all. The ticket to Banff, the next city in my tour, was $24 Canadian, 48,000 Mexican, and it was a 5-hour trip. I think it was expensive for such a short trip. It was like going from Mexico City to Guanajuato. The bus belonged to the Brewster Grade Lines. At first, I tried to sleep. I was tired because of all the things I had done that morning, but still, I had a long way to go. I think I managed to sleep only for 10 minutes. The driver's voice woke me up. There was a speaker close to me, and the driver gave some information about the areas we were going through. Perhaps that is why the ticket was so expensive. Columbia Icefield. Little by little, we came closer to a huge range of mountains. It was the first time I could see the snow. Actually, I had always wanted to visit Alaska, but I had never had the chance to do it. I knew that Canada was the right place to see the snow, and this was the first time I was so close to it. We were getting closer and closer to the mountains. In a wink, we were traveling through them. The view of the area, all in white, was gorgeous. Naturally, it was cold. Amazing layers of snow covered the mountains and made them look beautiful. It was that kind of bright white that bothers your eyes. I always dreamed of being close to the snow, and now it was coming true. We arrived at Columbia Icefields, a flat area covered by ice, where the bus stopped and we could get off to have a better appreciation of the place. It is an area of 389 square kilometers. There was a restaurant and a store where they had objects related to the Columbia Icefield, such as key rings, videos, and paintings. Also, they offered a tour to the ice fields on the snowmobile, a vehicle for driving on snow. It was a 5 or 10 kilometer tour on the mountains. The tour guide said that we could see onto ice 400 years old and 300 meters thick. I wish I could have taken the tour. It was very expensive for me, and I had to watch my spending since I was going to be traveling on my own for a few more days before going back to my friend's place in Vancouver. On the way, on the other hand, it was already a great experience for me to be so close to the snow. I had a spectacular view from the restaurant. They said that the ice field is 2,600 meters above sea level, and it is known to be one of the most beautiful places in Canada. A few minutes later, we were called to get on the bus and continue our trip. The weather was changing little by little. It was fairly cloudy and cold. Lake Louise. The scenery was spectacular. I tried to rest for a few minutes before arriving at the city of Banff. All of a sudden, we stopped in Lake Louise, a place that was constantly advertised by the various tours of the area, since it was considered one of the best areas on the mountains. The bus stopped, and we could enjoy the view from the shore. There were stores and hotels in the area. We did not stay there for long, but I thank God once again for giving me the chance to enjoy such a beautiful view. Upon arriving at the city of Banff, Alberta, Canada, we continued our trip. Before arriving at Banff, and even before the driver announced our arrival, I took a look at the booklets because I had to find out where I was exactly. I had a map of the area with me and the address of the hostel. Later, the driver notified us that we had arrived. It was a small city located on the mountains. The bus took the main avenue, and the huge mountain covered by snow could be seen at the end of it. The city is located at the base of the mountain. The bus terminal was right at the entrance to the city, which meant that people had to walk to get to the downtown area. At the distance, I could see a castle. A castle? Later, I found out that it was a hotel. It was amazing to see such a huge construction on the mountains. I was very interested in taking a look at it. I had seen a very elegant hotel before, but smaller, in the mountains, 3.5 hours away from Denver on a movie called The Shining. I was planning to stay there for 2 days, so I was going to have enough time to visit it. I was not concerned about finding a place to stay at all. I had previously called the hostel in the area to make a reservation. All I had to do was just to check in. We arrived at 6:30 p.m. As I was getting off the bus, I heard someone saying, "Those who are going to the hostel can take that van." Several persons got on it, and so did I. I thought we all had to pay. I was quite sure they were going to charge at least $10 Canadian, 20,000 Mexican. However, when we asked the driver what the fee was, he said that it was a free service given by the hostel, so all of us could save money, some money. Upon arrival, I noticed that it was much bigger than the one in Jasper, so I felt at ease since the probabilities to be offered a comfortable place were higher. At the reception, I had to fill out a form with my name, address, and number of days I wanted to stay there. I paid, and then I went to my room. I could tell how different this hostel was compared to the one in Jasper. This place was much bigger. There were several rooms with four bunks each. There was a section for women and for men. They had a big kitchen, a TV room, a common room, lockers, phones, etc. This hostel was in better condition and could accommodate a lot more people. There was a window in the room through which I could see some mountains near the hostel. After unpacking, I went to the dining room because I was a little bit hungry. A tourist who got on the van as well came close to me. Like me, he had his own food. We sat down together and conversed for a while. He looked sad. He told me he was there to work. His parents had sent him there. He seemed to be very lonely. During the conversation, I inferred he had just had an argument with them. I listened to him with patience. I think he needed to talk with someone about the way he felt. I felt very moved and lucky because he trusted me. As soon as we finished eating, I said goodbye to this new friend and went for a walk. I conversed with two Englishmen outside the hostel. I had met them before in Jasper. Fortunately, the hostel closed at midnight. That is why I thought that I still had enough time to get to know the city. On one hand, it got dark at 11 p.m. On the other, I had enough time to walk around. Besides, the hostel was in the city, which made it easier for me to visit some places. A huge hotel in the mountains. I started walking on the main streets. I noticed that some streets were named after certain animals. Some of them were grizzly, deer, rabbit, fox, squirrel, lynx, etc. The more I walked, the closer I was to the hotel I had seen at the distance when I arrived at the city. The design of the houses, the people, and everything around me made my walk a very pleasant one. I kept on walking on Spray Avenue towards the Banff Springs Hotel. Once there, I could read a plaque saying that the hotel opened in 1888. At that time, they charged $3.50 per night, and it was full of people from Europe, United States, and Canada. Naturally, it was a very luxurious and comfortable hotel. Presently, they charged from 182 1,500 Canadian per night, according to information I got on internet. Some of the services included were stores, swimming pools, big areas to play golf, facilities to ride a horse, sauna, a theater, conference rooms, a modern spa with thermal waters, and a restaurant. Since it was crowded, I inferred that all of them were tourists. I went up to the first floor, where there was a huge reception. So big that I could tell it was the biggest one I had ever seen. Of course, the numbers of people who worked there was amazing, but I could also spot people who were staying in the hotel because they looked very elegant. When I was close to the elevators, one of them opened and several people rushed into it. I followed them. I managed to get off on a floor that was not so crowded. Once out, I started walking down the hall, and since some rooms had the door open, I could see their interior. They were furnished with elegant pieces of wood, carpets that enhanced the decoration of the rooms, and all of them had beautiful view of the mountains. I went back to the lobby where I saw a picture in black and white reading $1 million view. The picture showed a room located at the back part of the hotel from which people could see the mountains and lakes. That is why it was called the $1 million picture. However, there are many places where the views are worth that much. It was late, so I decided to go back. I walked fast and tried to take the streets I was familiar with. Despite that, I got lost. I was not sure if I had taken the right streets because it was very dark. I seemed to be walking towards the end of the city. I checked the map, and yes, I had taken the wrong way. I checked my map and went back 5 blocks, and despite the lack of light, I could find the street that led me straight to the hostel. On my way, I met some young people who were heading there as well. So we engaged in a conversation. They said they were from Montreal and were planning to stay in the hostel. As soon as we walked into the hostel, I said goodbye to them and went to my room. By then, there were some persons lying on their bunk. I walked towards mine and said hi to my roommates. It was hard for me to sleep because the mattress was wrapped in plastic and the room was very warm. I think somebody else had the same problem. I could fall asleep around midnight. A tour in Banff. Friday, July 29th, 1988. That day in the morning, I talked with my roommates. Some of them were getting ready to go to another city or to tour around the nearby areas. I had breakfast in the hostel. I paid $3 for it, 6,000 pesos. It was very cheap and delicious. I was going back to Vancouver that day in the evening, so I went back to my room to pack. A Japanese, Kenji Watanabe, was in there. We talked about the nearby places to visit. Upon leaving the reception, I was given another coupon which was attached to the card I had got in the previous hostel. I went to the train station where I bought a ticket to Vancouver with 50% off, so I only had to pay $40, that is 80,000 pesos. The train was leaving in the evening, so I decided to go for a walk. I cashed my third traveler's check. In the bookstore, I bought the Greatest Salesman in the World for 4,050 cents, that is 9,000 pesos. As I was walking around the city, I could observe some brands of cars. To kill some time, I decided to write them down: Toyota, Cutlass, Impala, Subaru, Celebrity, Convictor, Royal, Chevelle, Firenza, Pear, Colt, Mercury, Firefly, Royal Bulk, etc. It was a night activity because I could compare them and even admire the elegance of some of them. I saw some carriages to transport tourists pulled by some very tall and strong horses. Someone said that their life expectancy was 100 years. Then I passed by a Catholic church. I talked in and took a rest. I walked in and took a rest. I was going to travel that evening, and by staying there for a few minutes, I felt the comfort I needed for my trip. On the map, I could locate some places I needed to visit. First of all, I went to the local museum where I could see pictures of the most common animals in Banff, as well as the way the first settlers lived and frightened away dangerous animals. Then, after reading the information for several minutes, I left the museum, and right at the exit I saw a man inviting people to take a tour. Most of them accepted the invitation, and so did I. They took us to an old house near there. It was one of the few houses that remained exactly the same as its first inhabitants had it. There was a room at the entrance with the original furniture. Its structure and most of the objects were original. For example, trophies and deer and elk heads. There were some utensils, books, appliances, and pictures of the family members who had lived there. One of the most interesting rooms was the kitchen. It was very small, with a small oven and some very rudimentary utensils that were in a good condition. It looked like one of those 19th century kitchens that appeared in the movies. Once the tour was over, I went to a nearby park because I wanted to write some postcards. The post office was close by, too. As I was walking, I heard someone calling my name, which was very strange to me. It was a person I had met in the hostel at Jasper. She had just arrived. We greeted each other and walked together to the post office and conversed for a while. She was going to the hostel where I had stayed. Then we said goodbye. I wanted to see the biggest hotel in the city again. So I went back there and enjoyed the visit. I could see some other rooms they had, and above all, I could see the million-dollar view, which was really beautiful. I hope I will be back there someday. Back in downtown, I took a break in a park. I prepared some sandwiches to have them on the go. There were so many mosquitoes that I could not stay there for long. It is advisable to have a mosquito repellent with you. At this point of my trip, I felt easier and more relaxed since I was familiar with this part of the city. Back to Vancouver. At the train station, I went to the ticket office, showed my ticket, and received my boarding pass. Then I bought some pop to have on the go and took a seat to wait for the train. As I was reading, a delay for 1 hour was announced. For that reason, they gave cookies and pop to passengers for free, and it was until 7 o'clock in the evening when the departure of the train was finally announced. It was delayed for 2.5 hours. I never thought I was going to be waiting for so long. Because of that, passengers were assigned a different seat and not the one we had originally been given at the station. I was given a first-class seat. These seats could be pushed back as if they were beds, and they were very comfortable. The space between the seats was so big that the people could have a good rest. At that moment, I knew it was going to be a very nice and comfortable trip.